Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com. Kind of a different episode for today. I'm your host, Gordon Bartolik, and I'm all alone. It is a solo show today. Anthony, our good friend, was supposed to join me today, but he has some health issues going on with his finger. He had a little accident on Monday, and he's just been staying home and recovering it, so we hope the best for Anthony. But it's just a solo show for today, and kind of a podcast style. We have some technical issues going on over at the Go Mile High Studios right now, so enjoy a one-hour commercial-free episode for you folks. So, but we have a bunch of talking about NBA, NFL, Tom Brady retiring, talk a little bit about the Nuggets and some of the upcoming stuff this weekend, and a sport that we normally don't talk about on the Press Box normally, soccer, which is one of my favorite sports. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. Starting off with NBA and the Denver Nuggets. Coach Malone, Michael Malone, was named the head coach for Team LeBron at the All-Star Game this coming month later on. And I think that just proves to the league that this Denver Nuggets team is for real and how serious Michael Malone is to coaching this team and how determined he is to get to this team, to get this team to the championship and even the Western Conference final, I think. So congratulations to Michael Malone. He'll be coaching Team LeBron. So that might give LeBron a little hint. Michael Malone might give LeBron a little hint to pick Jokic to, and don't pick him last, because I find that very strange that for the All-Star game that the team captains are going to be picking the players playground style before the game starts. So I find that a little interesting, a little fun. So it'll be definitely interesting to see who gets picked last in that game. So, but also sticking with Coach Malone and Jokic, Coach Malone was named Coach of the Month for the Western Conference, going 12-4 in the entire month of January. And to think about that, also, Malone missed two or three games because of health and safety protocols, and the Nuggets still managed to win the two of three games without Malone. So I find that incredible. He was a Coach of the Month, and Nikola Jokic was the Player of the Month for the Western Conference. Up there, Joel Embiid was the Player of the Month for the Eastern Conference, and Doc Rivers was the Coach of the Month for East. So two Nuggets and two 76ers nominated as players and coaches. So bit of a heated, little bitter rival between those two teams, especially after their past game this weekend, which Philadelphia did win. Nikola Jokic stats, 24 points a game, 11 rebounds per game, and 11.3 assists per game in the entire month of January, basically averaging a triple-double every single game, which is just an incredible stat that Nikola Jokic has been doing this entire season. It's incredible. And I think Nikola Jokic will definitely go down as one of the best Denver Nuggets of all time. Yes, you still have Alex English up there, and it's going to be tough because obviously Nikola Jokic still doesn't have an NBA championship. To be fair, none of the all-time Nuggets do. The Nuggets have never won the championship, but I think if this season, say the season doesn't go the way of the Nuggets and they don't win the championship, I still think you have to consider Nikola Jokic one of the greatest Nuggets of all time. I mean, he's won two MVPs in a row now. He's in the race to win his third MVP in a row. We'll talk about that a little bit here. But just the numbers that he's putting up this season And last season, especially last season, he didn't have Jamal Murray or MPJ. So he had to do all the shooting, he had all the passing, and but this season he's been doing it all. He's kind of laid off a little bit on the shooting for getting points because he has Murray back, which he's starting to hit form again. He had 32 the other night against New Orleans, which is really good. And he has MPJ back, who's starting to get back in form. He has his little hiccups every now and then, but he's been putting up some good numbers. MPJ, he had around 20 points the other night against New Orleans. So you can see those two players coming off of major injuries. They're starting to get back into form, which is really good for the team. And just following that, Jokic, he's just been incredible this season. I think you definitely have to consider him for going for the MVP again. Now, obviously, it's in my honest opinion, I think it's between Jokic and Joel Embiid for the MVP. You can throw Jason Tatum in there. You can throw Luka Doncic in there. You can throw those names out there. But theoretically, if you look at it, it's mainly just going to be between Jokic and Joel Embiid. They've been battling for that MVP spot for the last two seasons now. Obviously, Jokic has won one of them because Joel Embiid got injured towards the end of the season, so the NBA just kind of gave Jokic the award. And then last season, they gave Jokic the award because they felt like he truly, fully on deserved it because he was doing everything without his two backup players to help him out with. So, another great stat to look at, and obviously the Nuggets will be taking on the reigning champions Golden State Warriors tonight in Denver, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Denver going into the game, minus 12 favorites. That's a very big number considering how poorly Golden State has been to the start of the season and just throughout the entire season. They're 26-25 overall in the season, and they are 7-19 on the road. That's not a great, that's probably not the best record to have on the road. As far as the Nuggets, they are 35-16, and they are 23-4 at home. They have one of the best home records in the entire league, up there with the Boston Celtics and Brooklyn Nets and all those teams. So tonight should be a really good game. Obviously, looking at the injury report for the Nuggets, obviously you still have Jack White out, but Jack White hasn't really gotten any true playing time yet as a Nugget. But Aaron Gordon added on to that list, questionable with a left ankle sprain, so might be something he might want to keep an eye on. And Coach Malone might want to keep an eye on. But, I mean, and obviously Nuggets right now, top of the Western Conference. Only they're three games ahead of Memphis, and they are 5.5 games ahead of Sacramento. So they have a nice little lead in the West right now. Memphis also will be playing tonight. They'll be traveling over to Cleveland. So Cleveland can get a win there to beat Memphis, and the Nuggets get the win against Golden State, then that's a nice little lead that the Nuggets will have over the Golden State, or over to Memphis and the entire West, because I'm looking at the West, and, you know, a few weeks ago, the West was so close. It was a dogfight throughout everywhere. And now, as we get halfway through the season and closer to All-Star break, I'm looking at the standings, and it's, so like I mentioned, it's Memphis, Sacramento, 5.5, and then Memphis 3 games behind. Then you go to the LA Clippers, who are 7.5 games behind. Then Dallas at 8.5, followed by Minnesota at 8.5. And then Golden State, Phoenix, Utah are 9 games behind. And New Orleans, I'll speak on New Orleans here in a little bit, 9.5 games behind, but New Orleans, they are just they're just falling apart. They're currently on a 9-game losing streak. They were top of the Western Conference last month, and they were up there with the Nuggets. And, you know, when the Nuggets took over the number one spot, New Orleans was sitting comfortably in the number two and the number three spot. But ever since, I don't know, the beginning of the year, they've just fallen apart on that 9-game losing streak. That's one of the longest losing streaks in the league right now. That's the longest losing streak in the league right now. And I honestly don't know what New Orleans can do to fix it. They obviously need Zion back to help them get going. But, I mean, they've been putting up points the past few games, but they just can't get any wins. I don't know what New Orleans can do. I mean, you go back, this losing streak started at Cleveland. They lost 113-103, followed by a very close game against Miami. They lost 196. And then they played that really close game against the Nuggets, which they probably should have won, but they lost 99-98, the double under game. And then another loss to Minnesota, Washington, Milwaukee, Denver again. So it's just not good at all. They'll be playing at Dallas tonight at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So hopefully maybe they can get a win there and turn their season around. But I don't know what's going on with Milwaukee. And as far as the Western Conference, the Nuggets have a very, very comfortable lead right now. Obviously, they would really like to keep it going, but obviously injuries are going to happen, and we're getting close to the All-Star break. So if we can get to the All-Star break completely healthy, no injuries whatsoever to our key players, I'll be happy, and I'll be fine to send Jokic and Coach Malone to the All-Star game perfectly fine. So, speaking of All-Star game, actually, the NHL All-Star games will be starting tomorrow, Friday, February 3rd, and Florida will be hosting the All-Star break. And some of the skills competitions, you know, you have the regular ones, the fastest skater, hardest shot, accuracy challenge, excuse me, and the goaltender challenge, who can make the most saves. But then you have two more challenges this All-Star break. You have the Chipotle NHL Pitch and Puck, using a combination of hockey and golf shots. Four NHL All-Stars will play a par four featuring an island green. Lowest score wins. So, because obviously hockey players, when they're not playing hockey, they're just playing golf mainly. So, I think that's a very creative way to bring two hockey players' favorite sports into a skills competition in the NHL. And then the other challenge is the Splash Tank competition, which it sounds like what it is, but it's a competition takes place on a beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Ocean Spray, so what it is basically is, obviously you have a dunk tank, and there'll be teams of two, and your goal is to try and get your opponent dunked into a dunk tank. And I didn't notice this until I saw who was actually playing, but the players that are competing in this are Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar, 3 Avalanche in one competition. Igor Shesterkin, Adam Fox, Brady Tkachuk, and Matthew Tkachuk, 2 brothers competing. And what I've kind of connected the pieces here is that I have a feeling I know what the teams are going to be. So my theory is that the teams are going to be Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon together, both from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Both grew up in the same town. They're very close friends. Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar will be teamed up together, obviously both Avalanches, so they'll team up together. Igor Shesterkin and Adam Fox both play for the Rangers. They'll team up. And then, like I mentioned, the Tkachuk brothers will be teaming up together. So those will probably be the competitors in that competition. But going back, we have the fastest skater. Kale McCarr will actually be participating in the fastest skater, which I find that very surprising. He's a really good defender, and he has the speed, but we'll see if he has the fastest one. He has some very tough competition there, especially Kaprizov from Minnesota. That'll be a very challenging competition for him, for Kale McCarr. And then, obviously, as I mentioned, Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, they'll be competing in the Splash Tank competition. So, and then, obviously, those guys will play in the for the Central Pacific, the Central Division in the All-Star Game. They'll take on the the Pacific Division on Saturday. And then the winner of that will go on to play either the Metropolitan or the Atlantic. So that should be really fun to see. So a nice little break for the Avalanche and the NHL in general. The Avalanche, they've been kind of they've had a really tough start to the season, but it seems like they're starting to figure things out as they stand right now. They are fourth in the Central Division, and they currently hold the second wild card spot if the season ended today. They still have well over a few games to play over Dallas and Winnipeg. So, and I'm sure the Avalanche will turn on things once we get Landeskog back from injury, Val Nichushkin back from injury, and all the Josh Manson and every key player that helped us win the Stanley Cup last season, because it shows that we really need those players, because we're really struggling without them right now. So, yeah, obviously a nice little break for the Avalanche, and when they get back, they will be taking on Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. So they'll be traveling to Pittsburgh, and then they'll be traveling to Tampa Bay the following Thursday against the Lightning, Stanley Cup final rematch. That game will be on ESPN, so national TV for the Avalanche. It's been a little while since the Avs have gone to national game, so that'll be nice to see. But moving on, this is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. I'm Gordon Bartolik here on a kind of a lovely Thursday, February 2nd. It's Groundhog's Day, by the way. The gopher or whatever creature it is decided to give us 6 more weeks of winter. But if you're a person like me and you live in Colorado, it's winter basically up until April. Not even April, probably May. It will snow in April. You'd think I'm crazy, but trust me, I've seen it snow in April. And it's happened before. So, mainly, if you live in Colorado, winter is from November to April or March. That's basically when winter is. So, get ready for more winter, Colorado, because it's not going anywhere. But I want to touch on the NFL a little bit. Yesterday, Tom Brady announced his retirement, and he says he's done permanently. Obviously, there's lots of jokes going around saying, oh, he says he's done, but we all know he's probably going to come back, and he's going to come back, play for a different team. He's going to lie to us all, but I truly believe that Brady's done. I don't think he really has it in him anymore to continue on this season, but and if you just look at this past season that they had, they were really struggling. They barely won. They went 8-9. So Brady had his first ever losing season as a quarterback in the NFL, which is very, very strange to say, his first ever losing season. And obviously, They still finished first in the NFC South because no one wanted to win a game. Every team in that division ended in a losing season. Apart from Tampa Bay, Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta finished 7-10. So clearly nobody wanted to win that division. But yeah, I mean, Tom Brady, he just didn't really have a great season. You can see it in the way he plays, and it just, his form just wasn't that great. Obviously, midway through the beginning of the season, he had that whole fiasco going on with him and Giselle breaking up and getting a divorce, so because Giselle wanted him to spend more time with his family, but he wanted to keep playing football, so Giselle called it off and called it for good. So maybe that had a little effect on Tom Brady, but he came out fully and said he's going to fully retire now. And, you know, just a great career, honestly. You think about Tom Brady, and I don't think we'll ever see a quarterback like him ever again. I mean, he played half of his season with New England, which is incredible. I thought, and I'll be honest, I thought that Tom Brady was going to end his career with New England. I never thought Tom Brady would leave New England. I don't think anyone else really thought about it. I think everyone thought New England was the right place that fit him and would be the place that he would call it for good. And, you know, it just proves that Tom Brady had a very great career with New England. Obviously, he won the 6 Super Bowls there, and then he won the 1 Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, 7 Super Bowls. It's incredible. I don't think we'll ever see another player reach that goal. I mean, obviously, it's doable, but the fact that Tom Brady won 6 of those Super Bowls with one team is hard enough to do, because it's incredible. And obviously he had 3 MVPs, 2 NFL Offensive Player of the Years, and it's just incredible that the career that Tom Brady's had in, he has the most career quarterback wins, 251 wins. Obviously, that's going to be hard to reach, but, you know, you look at the league now, Patrick Mahomes, he's getting a lot of wins now with the team that Kansas City has. He can probably reach that in the next maybe 7-8 years, maybe, if Kansas City continues on the way that they're playing right now. They're just absolutely running the AFC right now, back in the Super Bowl, so that kind of proves it. Tom Brady, most career passing attempts and most career passing yards at 89,000, which that's going to be really tough to beat. That's going to be really tough to beat. If Patrick Mahomes or any other quarterback wants to reach that, they're going to have to play roughly the same amount of seasons that Tom Brady did, 23 seasons. And I mean, if you think about it also, Patrick Mahomes, he's only 27. And I found that very strange that Patrick Mahomes is already 27 and that he's already starting to get on, he's climbing the level of being at the same peak with Tom Brady. Obviously, I wouldn't put him up there at the same level as Tom Brady yet, but he'll get there. There will be a point where I think that he's at that level and he fully deserves it. And, you know, it's incredible to see what Tom Brady has done with New England, with Tampa Bay, with his own career. It's just incredible. And, you know, and obviously he signed that big contract with Fox Sports, so he's going to be sticking around NFL, but just on the TV side, which I think it will fit him. I think he might enjoy that also. So, it'll be interesting to see how Tom Brady enjoys the broadcasting side of NFL. Maybe he's definitely gonna start off as like Tony Romo did. He's just gonna see how every team lines up in formation. He's gonna say, "Oh, they're gonna run this play. I already know it." And people are just gonna, they'll either be annoyed or they'll be like, "Oh wow, Tom Brady's doing what Tony Romo did at the beginning." So it'll definitely be interesting to see what Tom does. So moving on, this is the press box on GoMileHigh.com. I want to talk about a sport that we normally don't typically talk about a lot in the press box, and that's soccer, my favorite sport. And I know I've mentioned this probably a couple of times, but I'm a huge soccer fan, and my team being Arsenal, we're having a very good season so far. If you're a soccer fan as well, then you would know the type of season that we're having right now. It's one of the best start for Arsenal in a very long time, and it's really tough to see us here. So, and it's just incredible how great of a form that Arsenal are having right now. Right now, and this upcoming weekend, they'll be traveling over to Everton, a team that's really struggling in the Premier League right now. They're one of the bottom, they're second to the last place right now, so they're trying to fight off relegation also, but it's really tough when you're playing a very good Arsenal team right now who are 16-2-1. 16 wins, 2 draws, and only 1 loss. Now, that alone, only having 1 loss in the Premier League right now is very tough, and obviously most people will be like, "Oh, you're playing the really easiest teams or whatever." We've beaten Man United, we've beaten Liverpool, we've beaten Tottenham twice, we've beaten Chelsea, and obviously people will be saying, "Oh, you haven't played Man City yet." Yes, we have not played Man City yet, although we did play Man City in the FA Cup this past week, and we lost that game, but Arsenal basically played their second team, their B team, against Manchester City's A team. They're basically their first team, essentially. They had a few starters on the bench, but I saw their lineups and I thought that's basically their B team. I don't know why they're playing their B team against, their A team against our B team. I didn't understand that. And obviously that's kind of how people see the league right now, is it's just between Man City and Arsenal right now for the league. Arsenal currently 5 points clear in first place of Manchester City. They still have a game to play over Manchester City. Man City have played 20 games and Arsenal have only played 19 games. So that one game in hand is very key for Arsenal right now. And the thing about Arsenal and Man City is, obviously you have the league and you have these cup competitions, but you also have European football to play in. Man City obviously have the Champions League, and Arsenal playing in the Europa League. If you're curious, Champions League is, you get there by winning your domestic league. If you get first, second, third, or fourth place, you'll go to the Champions League. And then Europa League, which is the B version of the Champions League, you'll get there by finishing in fifth place in your domestic league. And Man City, it's been a while since they made the draw for the round of 16 for the Champions League. We're in the knockout stages now for European football. Man City, they'll be playing a team from Germany called Leipzig. So it should be an easy matchup for Man City to win. And for Arsenal, they're still waiting to see who they're playing, because in the Champions League, first place and second place go through to the knockout stages, and then third place in each group of eight goes down to the Europa League, and then they each play each other, and then in the Europa League, the first place winners in all eight groups automatically qualify for the round of 16. The second place teams will play the third place teams from the Champions League. So those teams will play each other, and then the winners of those matches will play the first place teams in the round of 16. I know it sounds very confusing. That's why a lot of Americans typically don't watch soccer, because everything just seems so confusing to them. But, and you know, it takes time for everyone to get used to. So if soccer's not your sport, then I totally understand that. I fell in love with soccer around middle school. That's when I started watching soccer a bunch, and I've just loved it ever since. I want to be around the soccer world when I progress further into my broadcasting career in the future, and that's where I want to stay. And so going back to the Premier League, obviously Arsenal in a very comfortable place right now. I will admit I am a superstitious person, and I don't want to say anything yet, but Arsenal on top of the league right now is making me happy. Arsenal have not won the league since 2003-2004, so it's been a very long time, because the past few seasons, I'll admit it, it's just been money. Money just wins the league, and that's what Manchester City have. They've won the last 4 of 5 Premier Leagues, and it's just tough to... It's hard to not admit that it's money that helps them win the league, because they can just go out and buy the best players in the world. That's what they did this past summer. They went and bought one of the best strikers in the world, Erling Haaland, who already has 25 goals this season in the Premier League, which is a lot. That's a lot of goals to have by now. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be tough for Arsenal and Man City to keep fighting each other for the league. And, you know, and you also have to take account of the European football. And do you rest certain players for those games? Do you rest certain players for the league? Which one do you go for the most? If you're Arsenal, you probably want to go for the league more. If you're Manchester City, you probably want to go for the Champions League more, because Man City have never won the Champions League. They reached the final 2 seasons ago, but lost to another England team, Chelsea, in the final. So Man City definitely have always wanted to win the Champions League. That's always been their main priority, but they've always just come short. So maybe this is the season that they go and win it, but they have some tough competition in Europe. So, but yeah, I think that'll do it for here at the press box on GoMileHigh.com. I know it's a little bit of a short episode, but kind of when you do a show on Thursday, and when it's a slow sports day, and you kind of do, and when you do a solo show, it's kind of hard to riff on topics to talk about. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, all technical issues will be fixed by then. If not, then we'll keep doing this podcast style episodes for the foreseeable future. Hopefully, everything will be fixed out at the Go Mile High station. But yeah, this has been Gordon Bartolik here in the press box. Here in the press box at GoMileHigh.com. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.